Morning. And a warm welcome to everyone this morning and to Susan. Susan Cowell, who's covering for Audrey this morning. She's not been too great this week, but we hope she has a speedy recovery. Just a few intimations before we start. Mainly Music and Planet Earth Club are on this week. It was last week they had a holiday, so don't listen to the intimations when you're having a look at it. So it is on this week. Our cafe is on as usual today and on Wednesday. Our pancake night, for those of you who attended on Tuesday night, thank you. Thank you to everybody who helped and who came along. It was a great night and quite a few strangers were there. £438.94 was raised. It was excellent. It was a really good night, so thank you to everybody who came along. And hope the strangers are back again, because it was great to see new faces, it was. We've got a leaflet that is going through all the events leading up to Easter. There are some joint events with Carnwath, Kirsteers and Lanark St Nicholas on it. So there's a few Lenten lunches. For St Paul's are hosting the World Day of Prayer on the 1st of March, and there'll be a small lunch before that as well. So there's a few things, so pick up a wee leaflet and it lets you know everything that's going on up until Easter. And it would be nice to see some of you trying to make the effort to maybe attend to Kirsteers, Carnwath or to Lanark if possible. And if we know anybody that needs a lift, we can try and arrange some sort of transport. If anybody wants to attend any of the sessions. So that's that. So the Faith in Scotland's Constitutional Future. The event that is being run at Greyfriars Parish Church in Lanark is on Thursday the 22nd at 7 p.m. I think they're still looking. There's places available if anybody wants to go just to hear the presentations and have a voice. For St Paul's, if you're able to attend that. That's fine for that. And there are leaflets at the back. Jigsaw are looking to do something special for Mother's Day, and there's a wee leaflet at the back. If anybody's interested, you could pick one up. Thank you.
I greet you in the name of God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Christ Jesus. May it be that we receive mercy, peace, and love. Good morning, everyone. A warm welcome to our worship service this morning. Christians live in the name of Christ. Christ inspires us to live to God's honor. God has given us a Savior, so that we may know him. Part of the Christian faith is that we know and understand God through the workings of the Holy Spirit, but through Christ Jesus who came to us. We may cry to God and communicate our inner selves to him. We believe that he will answer. Yes, we communicate to him, but yes, he will also answer us. The way and the method of how he responds to us may be surprising, but nonetheless, he does answer. He does communicate. We say and declare that God sustains us throughout, and we answer to him, and we answer only to him. We have a close linkage to God, and the link is sustained by God himself. It's not through our own efforts that we link ourselves or bond ourselves to God. No, it's God that bonds to us. God has made the bond with us possible. Therefore, we are grateful in his actions. We live with a sense of gratefulness because of God's actions. Nothing can separate us from the bond of God. And for this, we approach willingly to worship him. We worship God who declared through Christ with the workings of the Holy Spirit, that He loves us. God loves us. With this sense of God's love in our midst, let us approach with worship. We cry to the Lord. We cry to the Lord. Let us worship God with our first hymn, At the Name of Jesus. Let us approach God as we pray together. We bend our knees in front of you, Lord, to worship. As we pray collectively, our hearts warm for you, Lord. We want to utter your holy name and declare you as our Father, our Sustainer, and our Helper. Lord, you know our hearts yearn to know you and to come to a deep understanding of you. But we admit life can be tough, Lord, causing us to drift away from you. We can become stuck without seeing your hand working for a better tomorrow. Help us, Lord, to be patient. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. Holy Spirit, reaffirm your presence in our hearts this morning so that we may come to grips with your love, a love that comes from you, a love that is through grace and mercy, and the love that we are so grateful for. Help us so that we may understand the closeness of you through your Holy Spirit. Give forgiveness if we underestimate your willingness to know and care for you. Demonstrate forgiveness if we take your mercy for granted. Show forgiveness if we have made your grace cheap by making it another commodity. Descend your Holy Spirit this morning so that we may know the peace that you bring, know the forgiveness that you give. With that peace within us, we worship you this morning. We want to pray and reflect with your inner peace within us. All that we are and all that we do is to honor you, Lord. With our eyes now fixed on you, we pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue worshiping God, all that I am, all that I do. Hymn 505. I'm very excited, and I'm going to show you. It's a measuring tape. I'm very excited with buying my measuring tape. I had one, but it unfortunately broke. It has this fantastic mechanism, so when you pull the measuring tape out, it just comes back. So the old one that I had, if I'd done that, it just gets stuck. So you can just imagine it's very long, and it gets stuck. You have to literally pull it back, and to say it's one of those things that's so frustrating, you know. Just the person who designed this is fantastic, that individual who thought about this. So what's great about my new measuring tape is just job done. Fantastic, isn't it? I just love it. So I bought this one from it's very cheap. It wasn't very expensive. I think it was £1 or something. So I'm very excited. So I can go about measuring things now, and then after I've measured, I can just let go, and whoops, there you go, job done. Fantastic, isn't it? Really love it. So what do you do with a measuring tape? Any ideas?
You measure stuff.
It's quite obvious, yeah, to measure stuff. But you can just measure things that's about 5 meters long. You see, that's a 5M. So the 5M says that the length of this measuring tape is 5 meters. So you can just measure things that's 5 meters long. So who wants to try to figure out? I want to volunteer. Any volunteers? You want to try? Okay, so let's pull out the measuring tape and see how long is 5 meters. Do you think it's maybe as long as the church? I don't know. Let's rather stand over here. I don't really... You walk. I will stand over here. Okay. So let's see how long is 5 meters. Okay, that's 5 meters. I thought it's going to be longer. Okay? Do you think it's going to be longer? Huh? Doesn't make sense here. Well, it says 5 meters here. So, but it doesn't... Well, anyway. I really hope it's not a dodgy measuring tape. But anyway... Now, I thought it was going to be longer. Do you agree? I thought it was going to be longer. But, okay, according to the measuring tape, this is 5 meters, okay? after this children's talk, I will probably have to give this back. Because something is telling me that's not 5 meters. But anyway, let's just presume that is 5 meters. And so the only length we can measure is that length, okay, that 5 meters. But the issue that we have is when you want to maybe measure the church itself, that's going to be a problem because the measuring tape is not long enough. So do you have any solutions? What do you think we can do if you want to measure? This is the only thing you have, you need to measure the whole church. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea. So that's a solution what you can do. So you can pull out the measuring tape and as long as you can, and then you basically make a mark, and then you take the rest of the 5 meters and you just go on like that. So then that's a good way to use the measuring tape to measure the church. My measurements are now so out after seeing the length of this. I guess this church is maybe 20 meters, 30 meters, 40 meters, 50 meters? Don't know. Anyway, my measurement is totally out. But, I mean, do you think we can use this measuring tape do you think we can use this measuring tape to measure God? Do you think we can measure God with this? I don't think so. I don't think we can measure God. I mean, do you think you can measure maybe how far stars are away from here? I mean, you can't use this if you want to measure how far the Earth is to the Sun. Wow. Firstly, we will have to get out of Earth and then start to measure. It will take forever, and I think it will be impossible. We can't use a measuring tape to measure God at all. So what do we do then to give an impression of how long or how big God is? So I will give you an answer. So what we do to give an indicator of how long and how big God is we use words. Okay? So can you think of any words we can use to give a sense of the bigness and the largeness of God? Any ideas? I've got a good idea. I've got a good one. God is mighty. Oh, that's a big word. Any ideas, boys and girls? What words can you think of to give an indicator how long God is or how big God is? Brilliant. Yes, God is brilliant. Yes, that's a good one. Another two. Yeah? You don't know?
Gigantic.
Oh, that's a nice one. God is gigantic. That's a good one. Yeah?
Very smart.
Oh, God is very smart. Okay, so if you can't find a word, you can maybe use a sentence. Yeah?
Enormous.
God is enormous. Yeah. So the only... a possibility for us to give a sense of how long and how big God is we use words. And although my measuring tape is quite impressive, unfortunately it can't measure God at all because God is too big, too gigantic, too smart. Help me? Too brilliant. What was the other one? Enormous, too enormous. Okay. But what is fantastic to know, and this is what the Bible teaches, that this huge God, this mighty God, this God that we can't even measure, loves you. Isn't that fantastic? This God that is unmeasurable loves me and you. And this is what the Bible wants to communicate, that love is in our hearts, is in your hearts. and that he knows you, he understands you, he has counted the hair on your head. He knows every single aspect of who and what you are. This large God is not detached from us. He's actually connected to you, and he knows each one of us. Amen. Let us sing the next. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. Well, so this is also a sentence to give an impression of how big God is. You can just imagine his hand, and he holds the earth like this, and he bounces it. Huh? Okay, let's sing.
This morning's reading comes from Romans 8, 31 to 39. More than conquerors. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word.
In the middle. To be in the middle means to be surrounded by people or by things. To be in the middle can have a multitude of meanings depending on a person or a situation. For example, to be the center of attention can make some feel excited, and others, it can be a source of dread. As I'm preaching from the pulpit, I am currently the center of attention. I can assure you I don't feel comfortable by nature doing this, but through many years of training, you get to a point where you are comfortable being the center of attention. But by nature, I know many I've heard doesn't feel comfortable with the idea of being the center of attention. We can also say that the middle means to be the center, to be the focus point. In other words, the focus of action, thought, or experience. As we're worshiping here, the experience is where you focus upon me and I focus on you. I'm sort of the middle point, in this space that we are in at the moment. The best way to explain this concept of the middle is to use a circle as an example. The middle of a circle is the point that has an equal distance from the circle line. So if you draw a circle, that's perfect. The middle point is where there's equal distance from the line and the middle point. I found it to be very interesting that our reading this morning is in the middle of the Romans letter. This reading is in the middle of the letter. It could have been planned this way by Paul when he was writing this, or it just could have been happened by chance. More likely, it was the inspiration of the Holy Spirit placing our reading in the middle of Romans. What is more interesting is the theology of this reading. The theology is striking and thought-provoking, whilst the position is in the middle. The focus point of our reading makes us see a very important characteristic of God. The middle makes us focus to see a very beautiful characteristic of God. The character brings about a deep reassurance that transcends all rational understanding of God. The tension of this mighty God, this huge God, having the qualities that transcends our understanding of Him. Let us listen to the reading. "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, no powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This mighty, huge God loves us. This quotation demonstrates the intense love of God, an intensity that overcomes all doubt that we might have in God. If there is doubt in God, reading this challenges that doubt. It exemplifies a very real and astonishing way how we may comprehend God, how we may go about understanding God. It is for this very reason that I like to use this reading during funerals and during pastoral situations. It is really during difficult situations that this reading becomes very helpful. If you are in those situations that you just don't know what to say and what to do, going to this Bible reading, you can't go wrong. Therefore, I will advise the congregation, If you're ever in a situation, go to Romans 8 and read it. Try to understand what it's trying to say for you during your unique situation. You cannot go wrong. There are many occasions that situations makes us feel helpless, or even bring us to a point of knowing we are in deep waters. We are swimming, we are drowning. Many situations tests our abilities, bringing us to a place of desperation. Being in a place of desperation is truly uncomfortable. When our capabilities are useless, it is then reassuring that we may declare that God steps in. In those situations that we are uncertain, we don't know, God steps in. Paul makes this point very clear by asking the following question. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? To help us to understand the significance of this reading, I want to tell you a story that my professor told us many years ago at Stellenbosch University. I think about 10 years ago now. He shared the story of his hospital visit that he had to do once. The patient he was visiting was a parishioner of his. The parishioner was very sick and had the onset of delirium. The delirium made him confused and caused abnormal behaviors. In my mind's eye, I can see he was probably tied up for certain times, this patient. He was a faithful believer his whole life, making the frantic behavior, the abnormal behavior, to be very disturbing for people that knew him and that was close to him. As the professor knelt to speak and pray for the parishioner suddenly asked for scissors. He asked the professor to give him scissors. Reluctantly, the professor gave him the scissors, of course, unsure if it was the correct thing to do. The parishioner took the scissors and started to cut the air above him. So where he was lying was trying to cut the air above him. The professor asked sincerely, what was he doing? Why was he cutting so frantically above him? With astonishment, the parishioner said that he was trying to cut the grace of God away. He was trying to cut the closeness of God away. In his delirium, he was trying to break away from the love of God through the means of a scissors. The reason the professor was sharing this story with us was to demonstrate and communicate the following point. Delirium and any other means to cut the grace of God will fail, because nothing can bring separation between us and God. The steadfast love, the powerful love of God, cannot be cut by a scissor. God was willing not even to spare his son, but rather to give him up for us. This act of sacrifice of God demonstrated the grace of God and brings reassurance that Christ intercedes for us. Christ intercedes for us. God steps in for us. Our circumstances, situations, conditions, delirium, or even the use of a scissor cannot separate us from God. No actions that we do can bring distance from us and God. This knowledge brings a message of hope. As Christians, we are hopeful people, hopeful for tomorrow and the day after. The hope is that God will take up the responsibility if we cannot do so. This does not mean we should avoid taking action and having good judgment in life. Rather, we should take responsibility for our lives, because God expects us to have our homes in order. Yet, it is in those difficult situations where you cannot control the decisions and the circumstances around you, when life seems to be hazy and you don't know where to go, it is in those circumstances that the message and the reading in Romans 8 is so comforting. It is comforting to know that God takes the center point. God takes the middle. God becomes our focus. God's faithfulness and reliability becomes our direction. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The love of God is the focus point in our day-to-day living. As we go through life, we can find ourselves trapped in a circle, going around and around in a circle, not knowing what to do. Going around and around with no means of escaping. Of course, one should try to break the rut or the endless motion, if possible. But if it's impossible, if you can't step out, if you can't break the circle, Romans reminds us of our focus point. Romans reminds us that there is a focus point that we need to look at in our difficult and in our good circumstances. Our middle point is God. Our focus is God. The center of our lives is God, with His good qualities and His character. All those big words that we use, that is who God is. And we may focus on that. We can only use words to explain how big, how large God is. And these words are like reliable, steadfast, and trustworthy. When we cannot, God will. When we are stuck, God can. May our center of attention be to stay faithful by reminding one another here in St. Paul's of the following. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, a sword, a weapon, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Surely knowing this, realizing this, makes the name of Jesus sound very sweet. Amen. Let's sing about the sweetness of Christ, sweetness of Jesus' name, with the following hymn, 461, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds.
Thank you. let us pray. We begin with a moment of silence, to wonder at the mystery of prayer, to reflect on our journeys and the journeys of others, and to collect our thoughts before God. We pray for those in leadership that they may bless the life and peace of the nations, our common life here, and especially the lives of the poor. We pray that the hungry might be fed in body, mind, and spirit, that the thirsty be satisfied, that God will hear the cry of those who long for justice. We pray for those we meet each day, at work or in the street, online or in person, at home or on the phone. We pray for those who teach in college and school, in church and community, praying that knowledge may build up and not puff up, and that wisdom might guide the feet of all who walk our world. We pray for those with prophetic gifting, that they hear rightly and share rightly, and that they have a wise community to assess what they say. We pray for the pastors and elders of our church and area, that they may serve with unity, with love, and with joy. We pray for one another, that we may grow up in faith during this period of Lent, that we renew our hope, that we open our hearts to the deep love of God. Through the love of Jesus, who died, that we may have eternal life. Amen.
Our offerings will now be received. Lord, we look up to you, and it's astonishing to think how mighty and how big you are. And even in your largeness, Lord, you love us. And nothing that we do or what happens in life can separate us from that love. Lord, may that inspire us to take responsibility for our lives. And may we use the monies that you have given us wisely so that we can build your kingdom and establish holiness in this world. We do so and we pray so in to your honor and to your glory. Amen. Let us look to the light of the Lord with our next hymn and last hymn, The Lord's My Light. May the light of the Lord guide and ground us. Go with the reassurance that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus.